Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today from a spring-like Vancouver as the warmer weather starts to pour in. And I have the pleasure of speaking with some colleagues from the University of Bristol. I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves because there's a pair of them this time. The paper we'll be discussing is called Discrimination, Harassment, and Non-Reporting in UK Undergraduate Medical Education. And it will be published in the April 2018 issue of Medical Education. Jonathan, can I ask you to start and just give our listeners some indication of who you are and where you're coming from?
Hi, yeah, first of all, thanks for having me and having us. It's a real pleasure to be involved in this podcast. So I'm Jonathan, I'm a paediatrics trainee and I'm a research associate at the University of Bristol. And I was one of the first people to set up this study with some colleagues. And I've seen it from the beginning to where it is now. I'm looking forward to the next stages.
That's great. Thank you. And Leona, I understand you're a student who's gotten involved with this work. Maybe I can ask you to introduce yourself as well.
So my name is Leona, and I am currently a third-year medical student at the University of Bristol. I first came about this project when Jonathan came to introduce himself to us as someone who was working on this paper. And after hearing a bit about why he was working on it and the sort of studies he'd done and the results that he'd come up with, I definitely expressed my interest to him with working alongside him in putting forward some changes that have resulted from the results that came from this research.
So it goes without saying that discrimination and harassment are critical issues in medicine and medical education. They're issues that have been coming to the forefront for quite some time now and certainly fit in with all the concern nowadays about well-being and a variety of other mental health issues for medical practitioners. Jonathan, what was it about this topic, given that it's been explored a variety of times, that led you to think it was something that needed further study?
First of all, we had a lot of anecdotal reports from colleagues that this was going on in our medical school, and we believed that the best way to understand it and to inform change in this area was to really measure it properly and to do a study. So from a local perspective, we thought that an academic paper was necessary. And more broadly, from an academic perspective, there are studies in a number of countries, but the UK doesn't have that much literature on this topic. And we believe that our education system is slightly different to other settings and that a study in the UK adds particular interest to how this relates to other countries. So the third element is about reporting. And we noticed that there's a lot of literature saying that students don't report when they experience discrimination and harassment, but there wasn't much understanding of why that was. And we thought that a study could help to identify what barriers were in place and how we could address those to look forward to the future.
So, and Leona, from a student perspective, I imagine that one of the difficulties with reporting or with any of these concepts is that different people might have different thresholds in terms of what they consider to be discrimination or harassment or what is reportable. Can you share with us your thoughts on the definition that you found most helpful to enable you to study these things in this context?
The definition that was used in this study for harassment and was the one where it's defined as unwanted conduct, which creates an intimidating, hostile, degrading, humiliating, or even, I like to think of, offensive environment. And that would be the same sort of definition that I would use. So any sort of behavior or actions that would work to create this offensive environment. And the same for discrimination. So this would be acts that would work to exclude or limit someone. And this can either be directly or even indirectly and subconsciously. And I think that's how I would see discrimination, really.
Jonathan, coming back to you then, how were you able to take that broad definition and help your participants understand the particular phenomenon that you were trying to grapple with? And maybe I can also ask you to offer some thoughts on this precise research question that you were hoping to address.
Absolutely. Well, we thought, first of all, that the topic itself could generate quite a lot of sensitive emotions for our participants, and we wanted to address it in a very sensitive way that was focused on their safety and well-being. So from the outset, we had an approach that was focused on signposting participants towards services, and we made sure the space that they could speak was safe. And then we went to define it using students, wanted to sort of develop that approach, and we asked for real lived examples of discrimination and harassment, and we took a wide range. Purposefully, we included examples that were more subtle, less obviously discriminatory or harassing, and used a range of scenarios to inform students and ask them whether they'd had experiences like that. And then we asked just a very broad question about whether students had experienced any forms of discrimination and harassment, and then collated those different responses to have our overall output.
Well, and to do that, you used mixed methods, as I understand it, bringing in some survey methodology as well as focus groups. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about exactly what data you were able to collect?
Absolutely. So we wanted to have different methods because we thought different approaches would enable us to understand the topic from different angles. And we wanted to have surveys to capture a large range of opinions. And we aimed to have, unfortunately, a slightly bigger number than we did have participate in the project. And we also wanted to use a more in-depth qualitative method. And we chose focus groups because we wanted to have a space where people could feel safe and also feel empowered by each other's discussion and explore some of the issues in more depth. So we had a combination of quantitative and qualitative. And then what I really like about this work is we used a method to synthesize those results, where we drove the qualitative results forward and then sought where the quantitative results would complement or disagree with our findings.
And recognizing that we won't be able to get into every detail, I wonder if I can ask you to highlight what that particular alignment allowed you to discover that was unique relative to what you'd been seeing in the literature before.
So first of all, the quantitative data was very helpful for us having a sense of the large prevalence of discrimination and harassment in our sample. So over 60% had experienced at least one type, and that was, to be honest, a shock to us, although that's not dissimilar to findings in other medical schools from high-income countries, low-income countries included. The value of having different methods was that we could draw out types that we hadn't anticipated finding. So particularly, we found that there was a big focus on inappropriate joking, and also invasion of personal space came out as a large theme in the qualitative work. And that's not something we identified in our scenarios as strongly as we'd anticipated, but it came out as a clear output of the qualitative data. There's also focusing on the othering of particularly Black and minority ethnic students who felt that they'd been treated as others, and that subtle everyday experiences could contribute to them feeling excluded and unable to participate in their educational environment.
Leona, you're in a unique position given that you're engaging in this research program at the same time as being a student. Do the findings resonate particularly well with you in terms of what you've seen or been able to hear from your colleagues with respect to how these issues might be playing out?
Yeah, so when I first looked at the results of the study, I guess at that time I was still in second year, and it's quite evident that a lot of the harassment and discrimination is experienced by the students happens more in the clinical years as opposed to the preclinical years. So it was definitely a shock for me at the time, but it's quite interesting because as I've progressed through my medical education and I have now entered into a clinical year, it is definitely more evident in how those results could come about, because it's in the clinical years that you have more one-on-one teachings with members of staff, as opposed to in the preclinical years where most of the teaching is delivered through lectures to a whole group of your whole entire year. So yeah, I definitely see it happening more in the clinical years as opposed to the preclinical years, and it definitely is shocking and alarming as to the rate in which it's happening, but also the rate at which it's not being reported as well was the bit that worried me the most.
And just to follow up, I understand that you're now involved in thinking about what you're going to do to try to reduce this prevalence and to try to make it more likely that students can get the support that they need in your own institution. Can you tell us a little bit about what the implications are that you're trying to use most directly to make the medical training environment a better place for your colleagues?
For me, definitely the first and most important thing from this study was just the urgent need to address it in the medical school, so address this whole discrimination and harassment that does happen within medical school, and to make sure that the dean and the academy staff are aware of this and aware that it is happening within their university. And so following on from this, in order to avoid this happening at such a high rate in the future, I feel like some of the things that need to be put in place would be educating the academy staff on the prevalence of this discrimination and harassment, and making them aware of ways in which they can avoid it and point it out in the future and work to make sure that their teaching does not include it. There also needs to be an improvement in the reporting systems that we have of these certain situations, and the reporting system needs to be sort of reevaluated to make it more accessible and user-friendly to the students, so they feel that they're able to report it if this does happen in the future. And I think that, for me, are the most important things that need to be taken from the study.
And Jonathan, do you have any particular thoughts on how these data might lead you to think differently about faculty development or supporting the individuals who are engaging in discrimination or harassment in terms of how we might try to address this from multiple angles?
Absolutely. Well, I think the first lesson that I've learned is to challenge my own perceptions, actually. And everyone needs education on this. And as a part in a project, I've been working with colleagues. We set up a workshop process whereby we identify strategies for change and match that to our current understanding of evidence, including papers from your own journal. And we identified strategies for change, which were focused around education predominantly. There's a lot of evidence that education for staff and students will have an outcome of changing practice and creating a more involving environment with students experiencing less discrimination and harassment. Also, really focusing on how you can change the management structure of universities and incorporating a wider pool of academic medics who have come from backgrounds that aren't traditionally represented in senior management roles. And yeah, drawing on some of the things that Leona's been talking about, focusing on reporting systems and having a real policy of understanding what is acceptable and what's not and how to act on that when discrimination and harassment does occur. One other thing that I think has been really important for thinking about change is having everyone from the most senior management engaged in this issue. And we're very lucky that everyone from the dean down to the clinicians delivering medical education on the ground in the clinics have been really interested in this and want to see change. And that's been vital for creating a good sense of what needs to happen in the future.
Thank you for sharing that. So I want to congratulate both you and your institution for being willing to shine a light on these issues. We started talking right at the beginning about how we've known about these things for a long time, but it's critically important that we keep turning our gaze towards them and, as you just suggested, find ways to finally try to reduce the rate at which these things are occurring. And certainly turning a blind eye isn't going to be the way to do that. So congratulations on an interesting piece of work that I think will add valuably to the ongoing conversation, and I wish you the best of luck in continuing to try to improve the treatment of students not only at your school but beyond.
Thank you very much.
And thanks to you as well, Leona, for taking the time and for your important efforts in trying to raise awareness about these issues and keep us moving forward.
Thank you.
And I'll just finish by saying that I've been speaking with Jonathan Broad and Leona Lily Richards, and the paper that we've been talking about is titled Discrimination, Harassment, and Non-Reporting in UK Undergraduate Medical Education. And if you want the details, you'll find them in the April 2018 issue of Medical Education. Thanks again, and best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your time.